Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
Chris has become obsessed with Gangnam Style.
I love that. And I love the fact that Kim Jong-un has not allowed himself to just be limited to politics. He's like, you know what? I want to be a pie of music in my heart. And yes, I may be a ruthless dictator of a communist country, but I'm still gonna follow my dreams.
Chris, I've never seen you obsessed about a song or video ever.
I am. It's almost troubling. Like, I actually went and looked up things on YouTube just about the guy in general.
Yes.
Interviews having nothing to do with the song or, you know.
Yes, of course. Chris is referring to Psy, P-S-Y, the hot artist who had like 500 million views on YouTube for his hot single Gangnam Style.
Sal and I noticed that he literally has more hits on YouTube. He has enough hits that every single American in this country could have looked at his video, and there's still more. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
I think I expressed that poorly.
You know what the interesting thing is he was quoted as saying only a fraction of those views are from Korea. So he probably only has a small following in Korea. Meanwhile, he's a global superstar.
Yeah, in fact, that was part of his astounding, unexpected success is that people started calling and friends were going like, hey, you've got comments on your YouTube page from in other languages. And that's when he barely began to realize that this thing was getting huge. It was taking off. And somehow it had crossed borders, you know.
In the 3.5 minutes that I was watching the video, literally about 40 comments appeared as I was watching the videos. I mean, Chris and I, for our show, registered ear offenders, can only hope for a fraction of that success and audience.
This is sad, but as soon as I kind of got wind of how successful, how big that song is, I went back to my YouTube page and I put Psy in each one of my video offerings, you know, on my channel. Like, I typed in PSY, yes. I typed in Gangnam Style.
Oh, got it, as your tag words.
Yeah, on every single video.
So when you go to YouTube and type in Gangnam Style, you reach Chris Z reading an essay.
That's where I'm at, that I'll take accidental, stumbled upon, you know, visits to my website. Like, whatever. I'll just fucking whatever at this point.
I don't care. If Chris accidentally gets a woman in his bed, he'll take it.
Right? It wouldn't be the first time. Hey, guys, here we are with Registered Ear Offenders show number 11.
Yeah. Wow.
We've gone a lot farther than we'd ever hoped.
I think we're like Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah, we are. Hopefully we won't end up the same way. Those guys hate each other so much. They tried to get back together after like 20 years apart. They lasted a month.
Really?
And just broke up again. If you're out there in listener land, 800-893-9562 is our number here in the studio. That's 800-893-9562. As always, I'm your host, Chris Z, my right-hand man.
What?
You're supposed to say your name.
Don't say my name.
Typically, your name
is Sal Rodriguez.
Insert name here.
Sal Rodriguez. Hey, listen, I wanted to make make good on a promise, and that was that last week you and Cliff mentioned your Twitter accounts, and I sat here like an idiot not being able to give out my handle, but I just realized that it is at Sal Los Angeles is my Twitter account, and I will start tweeting today.
All right. What motivated this?
You guys talking about it. You guys are sitting here talking about your Twitter handles. I, like an idiot, have not tweeted, although I have a Twitter account. I have not tweeted at all. But you guys are sitting here shaming me last week, making me realize I need to start tweeting.
I think sometimes Sal is antagonistic just for the sake of being antagonistic. Because you tweet on Facebook every day.
Yeah, but it's not tweeting. All I do is I put humorous and witty commentary in my status updates. I use that as my tweet platform, if you will.
You tweet on Facebook. You do exactly what tweeters do. You make a small, humorous, witty, poignant, whatever you want, a small message that conforms to, you know, a certain amount of words, certain amount of characters.
Yes.
And you post it.
So you've read some of my posts.
Well, I don't try to.
No. And you know what? My feelings are hurt now because you've read some of my Facebook status updates. You've never commented or even thumbs up once.
Well, I don't.
Chris has nothing to say.
I don't just hand out my thumbs up. They have to be earned.
I got some funny. I've had comments get up to I've had Facebook status updates get up to about 20 comments.
I'm very particular about who I sign on to. I have two people who I routinely retweet. That's John Fugelsang.
Yes.
Brilliant comedian and political comic. Just observer, one man show, really a guy I truly idolize.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of hosting him at a show in Hollywood. He's a very pleasant individual in person. This was right before he moved back to New York when he was a resident in Los Angeles. Right before he moved back to New York, I hosted him at a comedy show. Very pleasant man.
John, if you're out there, we'd love to have you on the show. And Matt Balaker, who's a lot less known
yeah.
Friend of ours, but he He actually runs a hedge fund. He's a really smart guy, and he somehow does comedy at night because I guess he wants to. He likes walking that fine line between I have everything and I'd like to lose everything.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. We got him coming into our world. This guy's already a successful guy, right? Making lots of money, and then he steps into our world.
Yeah, and I almost can't help but hate him because he has everything. Why do you want to mess with this? You know what I mean? It's like when you hear about those rich kids who they get so bored they go and rob houses or something.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's like what it is. You don't need this, man. Like it's like drugs. Like drugs are for people like us that need to escape our lives.
Yeah,
not
yeah. Well, it's like a buddy of mine, my conservative friend, Jeffrey LeMasters Tahir in the Inland Empire. This guy's a successful attorney, and then he starts doing open mic comedy. What the hell's he doing? The guy's an attorney. Why are you trying to be a comedian?
And the best part about it is I've seen Jeffrey, and he's terrible. He's awful. So it makes it that much more perplexing that he would want to, you know, the guy's got a wife and kids at home that he could be spending quality time with, and instead he's, you know, up there, you know. I just flew in from...
Well, if you've ever done a show with Jeffrey LeMasters Tahir, his wife was literally breastfeeding in the front row.
I was there. That's right. Yeah. That's one of the first shows that Sal and I ever did together. We drove out about an hour to like Rancho Cucamonga. It turned out to be a coffee house. Literally, no one was there. Many of the comics didn't show up. That's how bad it was. The comics didn't even... Yeah, just fucking bailed on it.
But that's the difference between us as comedians and our rocker guest today, is that as a comedian, when you see breasts from stage, they are breastfeeding a small child.
Right. It's not sign my breast. It's, excuse me, why are you looking at my... I'm feeding my child.
I'm trying to feed my child here, sir. Do you mind?
I'm sorry, ma'am. I apologize for springing up my comedy show around your breastfeeding... event. Well, we got a big show ahead of us, Sal.
Yeah, man, I'm excited about our show. Big time excited.
Probably launch into it here. Well, for one thing, we got confessions.
Yes.
Explain the confessions for the listeners who might be new to our show.
Confessions is a segment where Chris and I divulge and reveal some intimate details of our life. These are truthful occurrences that have happened to us where we share intimate moments. We admit things. We also have the opportunity to make amends with whatever other parties were involved in our intimate confessions. Sometimes they're dirty. Sometimes we may confess things we did that were illegal, but it's always interesting during confessions.
Nice. And that's going to be followed by Chris's Corner.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. You know, I felt like I've kind of been hogging up airtime with Sal's weekly rant, but Chris has a special segment now called Chris's Corner, where he's going to share some stuff every week.
Yeah, I made a few contributions. I said, you know what? It's time I man up and carve out a good 3-minute block of time to produce something for every episode, something unique, something from the heart, shoot from the hip. That's what I'm going to do there for Chris's Corner. And that's followed by our guest this week. We have Nine Finger.
Yeah, very excited about these guys. Very nice guys, too. You know, these guys look really intimidating. These guys look like tough guys, like they're going to kick your ass. Very friendly guys with some awesome music. We're going to play some of their music, and we're going to have them play some stuff live, too. So I'm very excited about these guys, Nine Finger.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Sal, this is not the first career musician we've had on the show, but the first quartet, if you will, first band.
Yes.
Live band that we've had. We're going to play one of their tracks from one of their albums, and we're also, like you said, going to have them kind of go off the cuff at the end of the show.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Also, some of their music was recently licensed by UFC, and I'm a huge UFC fan, so I'm excited to be sitting in the studio with these guys who make music for my favorite sports organization of all time, the Ultimate Fighting Championship.
I'm looking at their bio right now, and these guys are bound to blow up here. Look at this. They just had a great review in LA's acclaimed music magazine, Music Connection. That was in August, and their song Speed Queen was featured in the movie Repo with Jason Mewes, who is, of course... Not Silent Bob, but
Jay.
Jay. So yeah. Is it just Jay?
I think it's just, he goes by Jay.
Okay.
Jay, it's Jay and Silent Bob.
Jay, all right. Yeah, Jay and Silent Bob.
And then, of course, we have When We Peaked as well. This is a time when Chris and I, now, of course, our guests cannot relate to this at all because they have yet to reach their peak. Chris and I, however, are on the downward spiral.
Right.
So we look back on our moments in our lives when we were at our height, when hope was at an all-time high, when we peaked. That's when Chris and I share some moments in our lives that we look back on fondly.
And that, of course, will be followed by our mainstay here, our fan favorite, Sal's Weekly Rant.
Yes. And of course, again, something that our guests will not be able to relate to because it'll be about getting laid or lack thereof. And our guests are tall, handsome rockers, so I'm sure they get laid all the time. I do not, and my rant will reflect that.
Yeah, I wish I'd known many years ago that there's not a lot of pussy to be had in stand-up comedy.
Apparently there is. You hear about, what do they call them? Chuckle fuckers is what they call them.
They look like what they sound like. If you go to some, you know, some, you know, whatever, Butte, Montana or something like that, they might think you're something of a celebrity, but, you know, typically you're getting, table scraps. You know what I mean? You're getting a woman who, like, her kid's crying in the next room. It's not the same. Let's put it that way. Like, yes. nobody's giving their virginity to you.
No.
You know what I mean?
And nobody's throwing their hotel keys at you. No.
All right, man.
Let's get into it. Let's get into our first segment of the day, confessions. Chris, take it.
All right. Here goes. This is a big one for me, Sal, so allow me a minute or two here to build up.
All right.
Drum up some confidence.
All right. Remember, we are protected by the statute of limitations.
And although you've known me for maybe 6 years, I'd say.
Yeah.
You probably don't even know this. I suffer from ED.
Wow.
Not all the time. Okay, not all the time. It's not a physical condition. It's a psychological one. Let me explain how this came about. When I was about 24 years old, I was dating a girl named Annette. I met her at a show. Not the prettiest thing, not the brightest thing, but nice enough. And so we started seeing each other. And here's what happened. Every time I would try and hook up, every time I'd move in for the kill, she was kind of a little shy. And I got the impression she'd been hurt, you know, and was, you know, just trying to do things right. You know, so I was like, no problem, man. I'm not some frat boy rapist. You know, I like this girl. We'll take as much time as she needs. So what happens is one day out of the blue, we go to Medieval Times. My roommate and his girlfriend got free tickets. We go to Medieval Times.
Where you get to call the waitress a wench.
Yeah, that's right. And not get kicked out for it. And they serve this cheap wine. I mean, this stuff must be Ripple. It must be Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill. It's super sweet.
Yeah.
And they serve it free, as much as you can drink all night. So we
out of a goblet.
Yeah, that's right. We got loaded. And on the way home, she just became a different person. She was literally like sticking her hand down my pants in the car. I mean, we're in the car with another couple.
Remind me to take my girlfriend to Medieval Times.
And, you know, I said, okay, finally, this is finally going to happen, right? So I get her back to my room, and it's like the kind of shit you see in the movies, you know, where you take the girl and you literally throw her on the bed and you're kind of ripping your clothes off, right? I look up. She is bawling her eyes out. The same girl who was raping me in the car 15 minutes before is crying hysterically. I'm looking around. I'm going, what the hell happened here? You know, she just lets it all hang out. I mean, she just comes clean. She tells me that everything from, she was in the Navy. She got kicked out. I think she got popped on a drug test. And apparently, every choice she'd made in the last couple of years had been the wrong one, specifically with men as well. And she'd say, every time I do this with a man, I never hear from them again. And I'll tell you what, dude. Yeah, it was, and I was like, hey, that's cool. But this is weird because I didn't initiate this. Like, you suckered me into this, and now why do I feel terrible? But I was so affected by that situation that literally for weeks, I could not get a hard on. Anytime I would try and initiate sex with her, I would get panic attacks.
You know, one of our previous guests, Jeanette Rizzi, in her stand-up comedy, mentions that when a woman cries, a man's testosterone drops. So that is a scientific explanation for that.
Yeah, and so anyway, I've over the course, it has resurfaced over the years. Not always, and it's very unpredictable.
What, the ED?
Yes, and it's usually precipitated by a panic attack, and I've learned to, I can take medication to control the panic attacks.
Yeah.
Or if I have good I hate the fact that the band is laughing so fucking hard.
Rockers are laughing at you that you got ED.
Can we cut the monitor to the green room?
I can't do it.
All right. Can we start the show again? I've changed my mind about this confession.
Chris, I got to hand it to you, man. I really respect you for being this open and candid about this.
Sal, that's what I promised, man. I don't have a lot to offer this world in terms of looks or athleticism. I'm moderately intelligent, but I am open. That's the one thing I can promise our listeners, that they hang with us, they won't regret it. I mean, we're here, we're accessible, and we're human. You know, I one thing I don't like about the Lady Gagas and stuff, I feel their image is totally fabricated.
Yeah.
And I think people are that much more disappointed when they see them throw up on stage, for example.
Yeah. In other words, they put them on a pedestal,
right,
and then they're constantly let down, whereas no one would ever put us on a pedestal.
The one thing I took from Private Parts, Howard Stern's movie, is he said that from day one, that was the one thing that he wanted to do to make himself unique, was to be totally open with his audience. So nobody could ever come back and say, oh, you hypocrite, you liar. He said, I'm going to tell them everything.
Yeah.
You know? So I want to do that. I want to come clean, man, and I hope that people stick with this show. they will come to know you and I as if we were family or friends.
Well, you say you want to come clean. Well, you're not coming at all. Oh!
Oh! Do we have a rim shot sound effect, Nick? Okay, yeah, so that's basically it. I mean, eventually I got around and I got over it, but like I said, it has resurfaced and it sucks.
Yeah.
And it's totally psychological because the truth is I'm actually probably unnaturally virile.
No, you know why I believe it's completely psychological, this ED thing? Because show me a guy who has ED when he's masturbating to porn.
You're right.
Doesn't happen. Yeah. Doesn't happen. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, we've run out of time for that segment, so we have to move on.
Well, you have a confession. No, we're not moving on. You just make it quick.
I'll tell you what, Chris. I so respect your utter and bitter honesty today that I'm going to see your ED, and I'm going to raise you P.E. You know what P.E. is?
No.
Well, we didn't say what ED was, so we're going to say what P.E. is. If you've had... I've never had a problem with ED. What I have had a problem with is P.E.,
Oh, okay. All right.
Let me tell you something. Here's my confession. Not only have I had almost a lifelong problem with PE, not that I had a problem, the women had a problem. One time I met this beautiful woman at a gas station. I pick up on this hot, beautiful Latina at a gas station about 15 years ago. I said to her, I said, you are too sexy to pump your own gas. I pumped her own gas, got her to my apartment within the next day or two. I put it in, did not even stroke once. I did not even thrust once. Basically, it was almost like I said to her, how about I just come inside of you?
It was almost,
let's not have sex.
It was almost as if you came on her, like she was a picture in a magazine.
So, I mean, just only recently have I been able to make sure my girlfriend is satisfied. Like, as soon as my girlfriend comes, then I can finally come. But really, I'm like hanging on for dear life.
It's one of those things where you're going, you know, baseball, grandma, you know.
Oh, everything.
Roadkill.
Like, you know. Don't move. Right. I mean, when I tell a girl not to move, I mean, fucking don't move. I mean, do not fucking move. So there we go, man. I have had a lifelong issue with PE to match your ED. We are a fucking mess, man. We just lost our entire female audience right now. We just lost them. Hey, let's get into Chris's Corner.
I'm
going to
bang this out, and then we're going to jump into our guests because we got a lot of questions.
We're running short on time, and let's get into the new segment, Chris's Corner. Chris, hit it.
I've heard some pretty stupid things in my 36 years. I once heard someone state, as fact, the urban legend that John Wayne died with 60 pounds of undigested red meat in his colon. Even dumber than the John Wayne wives' tale is this concerted campaign of right-wing pundits and politicians likening our present to Adolf Hitler. How stupid, crazy, or downright craven must these right-wing racists be to compare a man who fought for healthcare reform to a man who forced Jews to foot the bill for the train ride to their respective death camps? You literally could not make a more asinine comparison. Some milestones in social progress are imminent. Gay marriage is one. Granted, opposition from folks who refer to McCarthyism as the good old days may stall it, but no informed person can deny its inevitability. According to Wikipedia, 10 countries now allow same-sex marriages. Some jurisdictions that do not allow same-sex marriages recognize those performed elsewhere. Some U.S. states, Caribbean Commonwealths of the Netherlands, all Brazilian states. According to the New England Journal of Medicine, in 2006, the U.S. ranked 39th for infant mortality, 43rd for adult female mortality, 42nd for adult male mortality, and 36th for life expectancy. These statistics from a nation whose denizens are conditioned from birth to revere it as the greatest country on earth. Germany's universal healthcare system dates back to 1883. Canadians have enjoyed socialized medicine since the 1960s. Since 1974, Hawaii has required employers to provide modestly generous health benefits to any employees working 20 hours a week or more. And for those listeners whose chief news source is Fox, no, death panels have yet to flourish there. So come November, when you're casting that ballot for Mitt Romney only because Rick Santorum, who would have allowed gay soldiers to die for our freedoms but not share in them, is no longer an option. Know that you are but a few decades from being your grandfather, who sincerely believes that bar mitzvahs are when Jews receive their share of the gold their ancestors got from the Romans for sanctioning Christ's crucifixion. Know that if, God forbid, your grandkid becomes a stand-up comic, His signature bit will be the one about his batshit crazy bigoted granddad who still insists that Obama was a Kenyan Muslim and that Obamacare was his generation's Holocaust.
Chris's Corner. Awesome, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Can we guess who you'll be voting for this coming election?
Slightly left to center, Sal. I'm really not. I'm not a dyed-in-the-wool Republican. Sorry, Democrat.
It's true. You're only slightly left of center. You're not all the way to the left. That's true.
Yeah, and I. I mean, hey, look. I respect some of the opinions of Republicans. I think there's sort of like something we begrudgingly need, because, for instance, we shouldn't live in a country where you collect a welfare check because you had a child that you can't afford to raise, but then if you have another one, you collect more welfare. Like, yeah. Shouldn't it be the opposite way around? Like, you get a swift kick in the ass if you have a second kid when you're already on welfare. But anyway, this.
What a lead-in for our guest.
Yeah, I know. We gotta pull up.
We're gonna switch gears here now, man. I'm excited about bringing in our guest.
So wipe the slate clean of politics, yes, and move on to fucking sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Wipe the slate clean of politics, of P.E. and E.D. And Chris, you want to announce our guests?
I do, man. I don't even know where to begin, Sal. Like, they've got so many credits and so many things they've just done and they're about to do. Well, let's just bring them in and we'll talk about it with them.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Nine Finger coming into the studio. Yeah!
Please welcome Mike Winnie and Josh Picard. Mike Winnie being the lead vocalist for Nine Finger. Josh Picard being the guitar player. How you doing, guys?
What's up, man? Thanks for having us on.
You're quite welcome, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, I heard the whole ED thing in there, and listen, it happens to all of us. I mean, even though we're a rock band, I mean, it happens to some of us sometimes, right?
He's saying, not me, but some of us.
Yeah, no.
What he means is sometimes he's fucked so much, he can't get it up to fuck a third girl.
I cannot fuck four different women in a day, damn it.
And he tries to blame me. He's like, it's your fault for wandering in late. I already banged these two broads. I didn't know.
That's right,
a
nine-finger
in the waiting room.
Though I do have to say this, rarely would I advocate monogamy, but I've seen Mike's girlfriend, and she might be the prettiest girl on earth.
Ooh, wow.
Damn.
And in fact, I feel a little guilty because I was at the gym, and I see this girl, and I go, "Who? This girl is 6 feet tall. Who is
literally
this? Yeah. Who is this runway model?" And then I see her wander up, and sure enough.
You know what's funny, buddy? When Chris first talked about you guys being on the show, that was one of the first things that he mentioned was your girlfriend at the gym.
Oh, Jesus. Great. Thanks for scoping my check, dude. I appreciate that.
His girlfriend?
Yeah.
In fact, she was supposed to be here, but Mike must have misread the email. And somehow brought the goddamn guitar player. I don't know why.
Hey, I'm over 6 feet.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this, guys, because I guess the first thing people are going to want to know, Nine Finger, what does it mean? Where did the name come from?
Josh, you wanna go ahead and do that?
Mike gets very sensitive about his nine finger.
Not really.
Mr. Mike here is the Mr. Nine Finger, and we're starting to come cleaner as the band has progressed. We kind of tell the truth more, but in the beginning, we'd tell people bit it off or
I bit it off, lost it in a poker tournament or. Yeah, shark attack, avalanche.
Mike, do me a favor. Throw up your nines at the camera.
Yeah, there we go. And that is a genuine. He is not bending his index finger.
This is it's not a parlor trick.
So what we gather from this is that you inadvertently throw up the two in the pink, one in the stink without pooping.
Even, without even any effort. I mean, I just,
permanent shocker.
You know, I always hear these stories about the margarita and how there's literally a million bars that claim the margarita came out of their bar. Texas. And yeah, you have to drink the margarita. Right. No, we invented that. I wonder if, who knows if Mike might have inspired the shocker.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
And he's not getting credit for it. He's not collecting royalties every time somebody jams a...
If I did, I would like someone to please come forward and give me whatever royalties is due.
Do you do the shocker?
Of course I do.
Are you comfortable, Mike, talking about the actual incident that robbed
totally
you of your finger?
I totally am. I wanted him to tell because... Nine Finger came up basically because of Josh. Josh and I started Nine Finger, and we were jamming out basically like it's typical, like, just like rock thing that happens is that we're jamming out in the garage. We get the guys. We start the band. What do we name the band? Josh comes up. Well, how about Nine Finger?
Yeah. I used to call him Mr. Nine Finger.
Yeah.
Just kind of stuck.
Yeah, so...
Don't name the band after me.
So then, and then, of course, now it's all about the Nine Finger now, so I got to throw it up and show my... show my nines.
And the real bummer is that, one day when they really mastered genetics and, manipulation and whatnot, you can't regrow it. You'd fuck everything up.
Yeah, right. When they try to grow his finger on a rat's back, right? It's going to totally screw up the band.
So this is kind of cool. I want to talk about this. You guys had a YouTube video.
Yeah.
This is a crazy story. A YouTube video that I guess is no more, but can be found on your website, correct?
What, you talking about the cutting of the finger?
Yeah, the removal. Apparently, yeah. You simulated
right.
What'd you call that? It's
the amputation.
Amputation of your finger.
Yeah. We made a video that actually showed Josh cutting it off for the namesake of the band.
Yeah. Convincing.
That is commitment.
Oh, dude, it was like full on like makeup on, like a fake prosthetic finger with like blood in it and stuff, and it was so cool, you know.
Yeah, we posted. The idea was this band had no idea what they wanted to call themselves, so at the night of the show, we decided, and it was to cut this guy's finger off, and we were going to name it Nine Finger, and so we came up with this idea. We're like, let's have fun with it, you know, and we put it up, and then the next thing you know, YouTube banned it.
Yeah, it got pretty.
It was like, this is real.
These guys are dangerous.
But it says here in your bio that within a few days you had tens of thousands of hits. Really? Somebody saw.
Oh yeah, that's totally. Cool. It was like, what was it?
We hit like 40,000 in 2 days, and then I mean, nowhere near Whoop'em Gangnam Style, but that was our goal before we knew them.
Whoop'em Gangnam Style.
So what you said? Maybe if the video hadn't been yanked, you could have been there.
Maybe
somebody walking around. Going, Nine Finger.
Chris believes this. Let me tell you something. You guys got tens of thousands of hits right away. Chris buys that. And yet our audience, according to the stats, has quadrupled in a week. And Chris is like, no, there must be some mistake.
Have faith, brother.
I typically err on the side of caution. Anything I'm involved with, I assume it's going to go wrong. Because that's been the story of my life. So it's just better that way if I don't anticipate success.
Then
I'm never disappointed by disappointment.
Set the bar low. Hey, Chris, let's go ahead and play a clip of Nine Finger. How about that? Nick, can you play the clip? I believe the name of the song is, what is it? This is your life?
This is Your Life, yeah.
All right,
this is
let's run that clip.
This is off our new EP.
Feel the sunshine. you down on the low.
That was This Is Your Life.
Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah. I, fuck, man.
That was awesome, Melly. Man.
Dude, you guys, who do you think you sound most like?
I don't know. We just so many influences, but,
The God. Big ones, Bieber, Psy.
Yeah, I mean,
do you think
bit of Christina Aguilera.
Buck Cherry with bigger balls.
Ooh, I like that. That's cool.
A little bit of Snow and Temple Pilots.
We love SCP. Yeah, we love SCP and Soundgarden.
Yeah, you guys sound like you guys kind of have that swaggerish kind of feel that like Velvet Revolver has.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
You guys,
thank you.
Like it's like swaggerish, kind of like the way it flows, but yeah. still very rock and roll.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nick, our sound engineer, is a musician as well, so he knows his stuff too.
All right, Nick.
Yeah, I really enjoy that. It does remind me of one of my favorite groups, and that is Stone Temple Pilots, way before Waylon became like a heroin addict.
Yeah,
right.
Like that too.
In the old days.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that. Thanks.
And that song could be found on the new EP IXF, available on iTunes and at ninefinger.com.
They brought us swag. Chris, Nine Finger is the first guest to actually bring us anything.
You guys, I know, man. I'm thinking that.
Yeah, we have arrived. We are officially
you
getting
have
swag,
arrived,
man.
Guys.
hey, listenership, if you're thinking about calling, now's the time. 800-893-9562. And the first person who calls, we actually give them a copy of that new EP.
Wow.
IXF. Yeah, they brought in so much
stuff
swag.
Away.
We can give stuff away.
And the remaining parts of my finger, too. So.
Oh, shit. You brought it.
He's been holding on to it for many years, just waiting for the right opportunity to give it to somebody.
This is perfect.
Let me ask you guys, I am a huge fan of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Tell me, how did you guys get teamed up with them?
We were working with a sound house called Kill the Messenger Studios, and I actually met this guy Judd, and his girlfriend actually was like, "Oh, you should get this guy to be in one of your fights." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Oh, I work for the UFC." So she wanted me to participate. I'm like,
meaning to be a fighter.
Yeah.
Do you do MMA?
And fuck no.
You just look like an MMA fighter.
I have the look. I don't have the skill. I do some karate expos.
Oh, he can kick some ass. Trust me, though.
But I had no interest in it. I'm like, sorry.
Oh, hey, we got a caller.
Somehow bypassed
the screener. But how you doing, caller? What's your name?
This is D from the OR. I'm Josh's stepdad.
Oh, wow. Hey, Donnie.
Hey.
He's checking up on you.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Hey. Tell me, were you a listener before the band came on by any chance?
You got to turn down the
radio.
I've always been a listener.
He actually gave me my first guitar. He's the guy that gave me my first guitar. He's like, for my 16th birthday, he's like, "You want this guitar?" And I was like, "Fuck yeah."
Oh, and then you played for a couple months and then you quit.
Yeah.
And then you started up again after hearing Nirvana's Nevermind.
Yeah. Yeah. I played for 3 months and I sucked and I hated it. I was like, "This sucks." I put it down. And then like later that year, Nirvana came out with Nevermind. I'm like, "I got to learn how to play this shit." And I never stopped playing after that.
And now here he is. Here is your stepson at the peak of his career on Skid Row Studios' Registered Ear Offenders show, the hottest show in Los Angeles.
Hey, guys. Man, has always fucking rocked. He is the best fucking son.
You raised him right.
Yeah, dog.
Hey, I'm almost 65, and I'm a big-ass rocker. I don't play good, but I can still make a hell of a lot of noise.
Well, it's going to keep you young, man. It's going to keep you alive well into old age like Keith Richards.
Do spankings create a rocker, or lack of spankings create a rocker?
Yes, I can totally hear that.
Oh, wait. I don't know, man. I've been sipping on Elijah Craig a little bit too long today.
Uh-oh.
What was that?
He's boozing it.
Yeah, I was gonna say that sounds like code, like Inland Empire code for I've been drinking something out of a plastic bottle.
He's actually calling from Rhode Island.
Earlier,
Rhode Island?
Yeah, Coventry, Rhode Island.
So what we've learned is that alcoholic stepdads create rockers.
Should I assume, Josh, that you have somewhere in your repertoire, you have a ballad about the father who was not there?
Yeah, of course.
Cats in the cradle.
Yeah, of course we do. Cats in the cradle.
Hey, Colin, thanks for joining us, but we're a little short on time, so we got to move on. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Don.
There's a couple things I want to cover, guys, before we run out of time here. Because, no kidding, you guys really sound like you're doing everything right. Like things are coming up roses for you. I mean, I just read right here, your CD was produced by Dee Dee Erlich, who has produced Slipknot and Metallica. Those are some fucking titans.
Yeah. He's amazing. He's been doing, we basically got hooked up through him, through a friend, like an old friend, magically through our drummer, who was an old friend of his, and he's just been around, and we get in the studio with him every time, and he just creates magic, man. Yeah. We really work well together.
He's like the fifth member that
he produces and engineers and stuff. It's really cool.
And you recently performed at the Whiskey A Go Go in L.A. That just blows my mind, because I remember being a kid at 15 years old wanting to rock out and listen. Oh, Guns N' Roses! This is footage from them playing. Yeah. To me, that was like the place that once you performed there, you were on your way.
Oh, my mom used to listen to The Grateful Dead and The Doors over there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge Doors fan, too. And
that's what,
the first time we played there, we were like five-year-old kids, like just honored to be there.
And
And these guys were used to these jaded musicians coming in, and we're bouncing off the walls. They're like, are you guys all right? We're like, we're playing at the Whiskey.
Yeah, at the fucking Whiskey, man.
It's the first time we played at the Improv. I was all nervous and shaky.
Yeah, it's an honor to play these epic places like that with the history and all the people that have been on these stages. It's an honor. And then you're like with your own band that you created in your apartment with your buddy, and then you're out playing it in public at the Whiskey.
It was awesome.
It get better than that.
And we played there a lot. I mean, it's been throughout the years, and they really like us. We have a good relationship with them, too. Yeah.
Now, Mike, you're originally from Arizona, right?
Yeah.
I guess you routinely head back over there to do some shows?
Oh, yeah. We just played at the Marquee in Tempe, which is a big theater, which was awesome to play at, too, because, growing up there, that's kind of was the big theater there,
You get a lot of support from the community.
Oh, totally.
Small-town kid makes good.
Well, my family loves the music and loves the shows. Actually, my cousin is, literally the number one fan. He's got a nine-finger wall in his bedroom. He's, 30.
Not to put you on the spot, but do you support the politics of Jan Brewer?
I have no idea what the hell that means.
No. Wasn't she the governor of Arizona?
Oh, okay. I'm not very political. Sorry, Sal.
in that case, what Sal is saying is that next time you perform in Arizona, if you get pulled over, it'll be because of your drummer.
That's right. Exactly.
Actually profiling.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
The rest of you guys can go.
The other members of the band.
Joe Apayo, the sheriff there, is insane. He's just like.
We've had some run-ins. We were on tour through Southern Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
We got pulled over. We technically got arrested for 5 minutes. The dog was going crazy on my car, so they pulled us out of the car.
Yeah, they're pretty hardcore. Oh. Yeah.
Go on. So what did they find?
Nothing. Luckily, they had some weed residue.
Yeah, it was like residue and it was actually the drummer from the other band that was riding with us, actually, on his bag. So
yeah, they smelled resin or something there. Yep. So.
This is a little off topic, Mike, but I do remember a long time ago you telling me a funny story about you were traveling through the airport and unbeknownst to you, you had a weapon.
Dude.
A concealed weapon.
Yeah, I literally got almost nabbed for...
Almost? You got nabbed.
I got nabbed.
It's off your record.
It's off my record, right.
Do tell.
I you guys know those extended batons like the cops have?
Oh,
security guards?
Yes.
Well, this dude had one, and it was so cool. And he's like, hey, I'll sell it to you for $10. So I bought it from him, and I kept it in my bag. I just kept it in a bag.
In the carry-on.
No, just in my bag that I wear gym and wherever, just my, my man purse.
Yes.
So I just slipped my mind. I was going to Arizona. I was going back home. Slipped my mind, Burbank Airport, goes through the scanners. They pull me to the side and they're asking me, are you a licensed security guard? Are you a police officer? I'm like, no. This is illegal. Boom. Handcuffs in the airport.
Body search. Body cavity search.
Where were you coming from?
I was going to Arizona.
Oh, you were going to Arizona from Burbank. Got it.
Handcuffs. Fucking nailed with a weapons possession.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you, the thing is, how do you disprove something like that? How do you disprove that you did, you had no ill intent and, you know, it was legitimate
I just
oversight?
Said, hey, I've got a, I literally bought it from some dude and I was carrying my bag for protection. I mean, you know, you got a knife hanging from your, you know what I mean? Like, it's
no,
just
doesn't.
A...
Chris has no knife hanging from his neck. Never speak of this again.
Right. We will delete this part.
So, yeah, community service and then, you know, $2,000 to bail me out.
Wait, and Josh bailed you
Josh
out?
Josh bailed me out, yeah.
He called me, like, friend. It was like, what, 5 in the morning and my phone...
No, I was leaving super early, yeah.
It was pretty early and my phone kept ringing.
I got the one phone call.
I didn't answer it.
Yeah.
And then you finally, got the one phone call, you called Josh.
Dude, yeah. Listen to this. He, I'm my, my bail.
Josh is crying, right?
Yeah, my bail was $20,000. Yeah. And he had to go get that. A bond for two, which is gone after you fucking get it.
When did this happen?
Two years ago.
Was it that long?
Yeah. God bless America and the Patriot Act.
Fucking
well,
A, yeah.
Here's the worst part of the story. I bail him out. I take him back to the fucking airport.
And I leave. And I go back to Arizona.
Tell me that.
I walk right back to the airport, check my bags through. No problem, went to Arizona.
You ran into the same guys?
Yeah.
You said hello to the same guys that arrested you.
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
They're making jokes about it. They're like, what do you got this time?
Right.
He's like, I'm mulling some weed in my ass. Yeah. Other than that,
you got something in my butt. You want to check it?
Yeah.
Well, so you guys are going back to Phoenix in October and November. You want to plug those shows?
Well, we're trying to go back to the Marquee.
Yeah, we're not scheduled, but we're talking in discussion right now. So we'll put that up on our website and our Facebook.
But this is tomorrow night, you guys are going to be right here in Los Angeles at Paladino's in Tarzana, 9:45 Saturday, October 13th. Tomorrow night.
Yes.
Tomorrow night, yeah.
I would love to make it. Unfortunately, we're having the Skid Row Studios party.
Sure.
No, we are. Skid Row Studios, the owner of Skid Row Studios, Jeremy Hansen, is having a huge wild party. In fact,
naturally.
You know what? Maybe after the show, you guys should come to the Skid Row Studios party.
Fuck yeah.
Where's it at?
It's going to be right here in downtown Los Angeles. Jeremy, if you're listening, I'm inviting crazy rockers to your party.
We'll bring groupies.
Yeah, we'll bring groupies. We'll bring chuckle fuckers or whatever.
Bring anyone. I want this to be that kind of party that, you know, you it's sort of like, you ever see that episode of Breaking Bad where he just kept the party going?
He's a huge
He just played the speaker. He literally, every morning, he'd find them asleep and he'd turn the speakers back on. He'd like, I just don't stop partying. He'd go to work and leave them partying, come
Yo,
back.
Yo, bitches.
How did you two guys meet? Did we ask you that?
Actually, through a mutual friend. His then girlfriend at the time, we got stuck
riding
together.
In the same car and just started going off about music and literally, that's history.
Yeah,
we got stuck in the same car riding to a birthday party.
Yeah, and my band, the guys I was jamming with at the time, we needed a singer. We couldn't find a fucking singer to save our lives. And he's like, "Oh, I'm a singer." I'm like, "Well, my band needs a singer. Come on, man!" And he came the next day and listened to our shit. He loved it. And
he had music. I wrote lyrics to it, and that was it.
Dude, this is shaping up to be one hell of a show. Sal, this is going to be our first show ever. We've had two callers.
What?
We have a second caller on hold.
I can't handle it. I can't handle it.
Jeremy, I'm listening in from home, and I heard you guys talking about the party. I just want to tell your guests there to definitely come by if you guys can. I think it's going to be a good party.
Thanks, buddy.
I just got 168 bottles of beer for free from Indio Beer.
Definitely coming.
For sponsoring the event.
And, ladies and gentlemen, this is Jeremy Hansen, the owner of SkidRowStudios.com.
Wow.
Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate it, man.
I'm listening to the show. Great show, guys. Another real quick thing. Fuckass and the Grease Patrol is going to be playing at the show or at the party tomorrow. And, you know, if you've never done acid, just watch Fuckass and then you don't really have to.
I tried it once, man. I don't like it.
Wait, will there be acid at the party?
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of things at the party.
I'm going to bring hookers and blow. Is that okay?
I'm there, but I don't know if our guests, are you guys, do you guys partake in anything recreational?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, no. Mom?
Well, because, you know,
my parents are listening, dude.
Okay. A lot of rockers are going straight edge nowadays.
We're fairly tame, in all honesty.
We've had our moments.
We like to party, but we're fairly tame. We don't have any, like, wastoids. Yeah. We'll say that.
Mike and I would roll on a Tuesday night and just play video games.
Nice.
Rolling balls.
But we're kind of slowing down now.
We're good.
We've had our moments.
Yeah, though these days, I think these guys are maybe taking a little bit more care of this. Like I said, I saw Mike at the gym. That's why I asked him to be on the show. I bumped into him at the gym.
You know what? You are true, though. So, you know, like, there's a lot of people that are really, like, into, you know, like, music industry is always like, yeah, party and drugs and shit. But there is a lot of people like going towards that health. Yeah. You know, keeping
well, because
shape
they come on the other side and they're now in recovery. They're
absolutely
sober now.
And we've just lost too many greats.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And they don't want fuck ups. I mean, the bands that partied and did heroin and were drunk all the time, they don't want that shit anymore.
They don't want wastoids, you know. They want people, they want live and fresh, you know.
Jeremy, you still there?
Yeah.
All right, man. We really appreciate you calling. This is the first time
yes.
that Jeremy's ever called.
Jeremy,
to the show.
Save me one of those beers, man.
I got plenty of beer for you guys, so just come over tomorrow and we'll all have a good time.
I'll give them the address.
Thanks,
Jeremy.
All right, later.
And if you're interested, you can come to our Paladinos gig and we'll bus you to the party. No, we're just kidding.
You can follow us to the party. Yeah. Paladinos tomorrow night,
9:45.
Guys, we got one more segment before our obligatory Sal's Weekly Rant.
Well, we got two more segments, but I like that you guys are here, especially when I get into my rant. I want to hear what you guys have to say, because it's not going to pertain to them at all. It's about not getting laid.
Should we jump into the rant, or do we have time for when we peaked?
No, no, we're doing when we peak too. Maybe they want to chime in on that too, although they have not yet peaked.
Yeah, this is
on our way to peaking.
There's a stark contrast between this side of the table and this side of the
there
table.
Is.
I'll tell you what, though. You guys are fucking hilarious. You two, you have a little, like, the chemistry you got is fucking hilarious.
Hey, if you come to our show Saturday night, you may peak. I don't know.
Nice.
You may peak again, bro.
So this will surprise you, Sal. Not 17.
Wow, because usually Chris peaks at 17.
I peaked at 17.
Oh.
I had a brief resurgence, a false start, when I was about to, I'd say about 19 years old. I was working at a place in South Florida called Hot Shots. It was a pool hall, and they knocked down a wall. They bought out literally the whole strip mall, and they turned it into a nightclub. And suddenly this place became like the premier, you know, little social spot. I was the doorman there, and suddenly I was making buku bucks, or at least what I thought was, big money at the time.
Sure.
I was 19 years old. I lived at home. Cost of living was lower. And, maybe make $100 a night. I didn't know what to do with my money.
Yeah.
There was a year where I did not make a sandwich. I literally would wake up at my leisure, take a shower, and go to a restaurant.
Wow.
I would treat myself, I treated myself like a king, like an asshole.
Yeah.
I didn't save so much as a dollar of
it,
because I had no idea that money would never come that easy again.
Sure. Right.
But, it was kind of cool. I had regulars that would come in. And, they knew me, and I would, I would kind of comp their pool tab, and they would tip me in return. And it was just kind of cool, man. And I love playing pool. It's the only sport I've ever been good at. So I would come in an hour or two early. I'd play a couple games, go to work. We'd play more games after work, well into the evening. Camaraderie, bartenders, a lot of, working class guys. We all got along well. And I miss it, man. I mean, it was such a cool play. I remember this one time this guy pulled up in a new Corvette. And we started talking. Yeah, and he literally goes like this. He goes, "Hey, just take it for a drive if you want." This guy gave me his keys to go fucking do it. But
was it an IROC?
It was one of those Corvettes. If you saw it now, you'd laugh at it because it looks like, something Sonny Crockett would drive. But, back then it was... Right, yeah. Fucking hot pink or something. Right. But I couldn't work it. I had no clue how to, even where the key went. So I didn't go anywhere with it. But it was an interesting place, man. And,
but I got to call you out on this. Is that you say this is when you were 19? Yeah. Previously, you've done when we peaked at 17. So you've peaked at 17, peaked at 19. What the fuck happened when you were 18? Was that a downward spiral at 18?
Yeah, no, you shouldn't have been peaked.
There was some consistency there, so it dropped off a little, but it was never terrible. Again, I was living at home. I was going to community college. Taking a couple classes, living a very leisurely life.
Yeah, a ne'er-do-well.
Right. And just, again, having very, very minimal expenses. And back then I was just a different person. I didn't worry about money. I didn't worry about anything. So, life was fucking good, man.
Yeah.
But I do miss it, man. I remember the cocktail waitress. There was so many hot cocktail waitresses. And at the end of the night, they would have to clean their little booths. And one thing I particularly liked was they wore these tiny little skirts, right? And every time they bent over to clean the far end of the booth, you just watched that little tea back just get swallowed up. There was this one chick in particular. Her name was Lisa. And she was literally like probably 5'11".
Did you ever get caught?
Just built like a... what?
Did you ever get caught scoping?
Oh, no. I mean, it wasn't even my fault. I was the victim, Mike. I was the victim of reverse sexual harassment.
Right.
When Chris peaked, it wasn't that he was banging hot cocktail waitresses, but he was looking at hot cocktail waitresses bend over.
Right.
But, Yeah, man. And so things were good back then. I still had a social life. I still dated regularly. I wasn't a fucking workaholic Boo Radley that I am now.
It's true. You are a workaholic. For any would-be employers, Chris has a tremendous work ethic. He really does.
So that's me. That's my win we picked. It wasn't quite 17, but it was a damn. It was a very good year.
Did you get a hand job at that point? Or?
Yeah, did you get a hand job?
I don't know why you guys have suddenly decided that I never had sex. No, I'm just saying that the job was that much. Oh, okay. The job was more fun than not being at work.
Absolutely.
That's the point.
That is Chris's when we peaked. My when we peaked goes back a little bit further to when I was, I believe, 11 years old. I peaked at 11. I peaked at 11. I was a senior at Telfer Elementary School, Pacoima, California. Senior. Yeah, a senior. I was a senior. And I was one of the soloists at graduation to sing We Are the World, which was the obligatory graduation song for every graduating class of 85. So I sang the Lionel Richie portion.
Yes, that's the best part.
And it was something like a... there comes a time when we heat a certain call in the world. Anyway, I forgot it by now. But the Lionel Richie portion was mine. I was on stage, surrounded by my backup singers. I was Lionel Richie in 85. I stepped off the stage at that graduation ceremony. People asked for my autograph.
Nice.
They asked for my autograph after I sang Lionel Richie's portion of We Are the World, my sixth grade graduation, class of 1985. I was 11 years old. That's when I peaked. Chris, I think that's our youngest when we peaked ever.
11 years old.
I was 11 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't even know that you had a rock star adolescence.
I was a senior. That was also not only the when we peaked of my career, but when we peaked of my education, because it was all downhill from there.
Me too, man.
But I like the fact that you were Lionel Richie in his heyday.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's you know, it'd be a hell of a thing to be him now. Hell, I'd settle for that. Fuck, I'd settle for being his personal assistant.
Let's do this. I want to get into my weekly rant because I definitely want these guys to chime in on that. I want to hear what Nine Finger have to say after I spill my weekly rant. Chris, who's our sponsor for Sal's Weekly Rant this week?
This week, Sal's Weekly Rant is sponsored by Republic of Pi. That's 1118 Magnolia Boulevard, North Hollywood, California. Republic of Pi, I ate there for the first time yesterday. Fantastic, man. A lot of home cooking comfort foods. I ate turkey chili with homemade cornbread, and they have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to pies, any kind of pie conceivable. But the ambiance is nice, real laid back place, awesome coffee house, and they have usually live entertainment. They open up at 8 in the morning, go to about 9 or 10 p.m. every night, right there in North Hollywood. It's very kind of not what's the word I'm looking for?
Pretentious?
No, but for you know how North Hollywood, it's kind of like
arts trendy,
regentrified. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's an arts district.
But it's a bogus art. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's a manufactured art. Like, this place is very homey.
Right.
You know
what I mean? Totally. Yeah.
And I had a damn good time. They run a good show. I performed there last night. And I strongly suggest if you're in the area, you check it out.
Nice. Republic of Pi. Thank you for being the sponsor. Nick, we're going to go ahead and hit Sal's Weekly Rant. As a child, I watched PBS with videos of Woodstock and all that it represented, namely the concept of free love. I saw nude women with body paint gyrating to Jimi Hendrix and the Doors, fueled by LSD. I watched in anticipation, looking forward to my turn when I would grow up and experience free love. But I grew up in the 90s, the era of AIDS, STDs, and condoms. There would be no free love, and I, as someone who tried LSD in high school, was looked upon as a weirdo. I was born too late. As an adult in the late 90s and early millennium, sex was quite normal. It wasn't free love by any means. It was called dating, and we all know dating sucks. But I was at least able to say, anyone born in the 70s and after missed the sexual revolution. I'm not alone in having missed out. It's a new world, and it's terrible. Then along came the internet, and with it, webcams and cell phones. Now, teen girls are sending videos of themselves sticking hairbrushes up their twats to their awaiting and chuckling boyfriends. They're now sexting each other. This new school, fueled by internet porn, has unleashed a whole new generation of horny little bitches upon this earth. To them, what is normal in porn must be normal for everyone. So they shave their pussies and indulge in anal sex, prompting a recent news article titled, "Is Anal the New Oral?" I was born too early. At an upscale suburban mall called The Commons in Calabasas, California, middle school girls were caught trading blowjobs for cash as their unsuspecting parents shopped at L'Occitane. Add to this the numerous hot school teachers who sleep with their students. Teens today are having sex with each other, and teens are having sex with adults. I missed the free love of the 60s. I missed the disco and cocaine sex of the 70s. I missed webcams and sexting and middle school blowjobs of the 2000s. I was born too late. I was born too early. I don't know why they called us Generation X, because we sure as hell were not X-rated. That was Sal's weekly rant.
Very nice.
Nine Finger, what do you guys have? I know none of that pertains to you because you guys just get laid like crazy. What do you guys think of that?
Listen, I feel like I was born too late as well, but not with the sex thing. I felt very, very connected to the 70s. But that's very interesting. That whole spin right there, man. Once you kind of like look at it, you're fucking right, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's nuts. It's great. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, wow. One thing that came to mind was free love isn't free. It costs about $1.05.
So, costs $1.25.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's crazy about the. I remember hearing a small thing about the kind of the girls giving blowjobs for money, basically prostituting themselves. Sure. Like, I mean, how old were they?
Little suburban middle schoolers.
Right.
I don't believe it.
Calabasas.
I'm going to go check it out. I don't believe it for a second.
Chris will be seeing this Saturday at the Commons in Calabasas.
I'm going undercover.
Yeah.
You should I'm gonna do some research live from there.
Yeah, we're going to do some research.
I won't believe it until I see it.
Nine Finger will be having 3 shows all in Calabasas in the next coming week.
So. At the Commons, outside, outdoor mall.
Hey, guys, we got 1 minute left. Nine Finger, tell our audience where they can see you, where they can hear you.
Josh?
We will be, you can check us out on ninefinger.com and ninefinger999 on Facebook. And we will be at Paladino's tomorrow night at 9:45, Tarzan.
The Valley's premier rock club.
And we'd also like to thank Nicholas Chacon, wonderful sound engineer.
We'd like
to thank Jeremy Hansen also. We'd like to thank Wes Hambright and Orange Dog Music for supplying some of our music. Chris, what do you got to say for closing?
Next Tuesday, I'll be at the Gas Lamp in Long Beach. I'll be performing on a fantastic comedy show they do out there. I'll also probably be at Story Salon in the Valley. That's Studio City, California, next Wednesday. So if you're in the area, if you can check it out, I'd love to have you.
Nice, and we would love to thank our guest rockers, Nine Finger. Be sure to check them out and support them for supporting our show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Registered Ear Offenders. I am Sal Rodriguez.
Yeah, I'm Chris Zapatier.
You guys are awesome. Thanks, man.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, I'm Mike from Nine Finger.
And I'm Josh from Nine Finger.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Later.
That was good, man.